You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Rose Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. There is a stronger anointing in this place. I was almost startled as I was sitting and then standing over here during praise and worship. I've always loved this church. You know that. I come every year. I believe in this work. I believe in Pastor Mike and Brendan, what all God has called them to do. And I've said it before that Will's Point is very blessed that this ministry is here. They should be thankful to God that this church is here. And yet, as wonderful as this church has been, you've gone to another level. There's no doubt about it. You don't even have to think too hard to realize something good is happening in this church. And man, to be back in all of this and worship team, absolutely tremendous. Just wonderful what all was going on and the praise and worship and the excitement. Goodness gracious, the excitement. I mean, you get people saved just on the excitement. I love it. I just feel so at home. And, my goodness, what a blessing it is to be here. And Pastor Mike, of course, I appreciate the kind words he says to me. We always have to have our kudos to one another. Thank God for Pastor Mike. What he has meant to me through the years, through the ups and downs, the storms of life, the heaven and the hell on earth. Thank God for friends who will be with you and will travel the road with you to get you to where you need to be. God has a destiny that each and every one of us needs to fulfill. And you need people. See, God uses people. God sends people to be a blessing to you and to encourage you and to remind you and to inspire you how great God is and the path that He has for you. And you need people to keep you on the right path in life. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And if you do not go to Sunday school, shame on you. I tell you, I get so much, you know, in this little room over here, and they pack in all these chairs and people discuss the scriptures and what all God has been doing for them, doing through them, doing with them, and the testimonies that are taking place. And my goodness. And of course, the teaching. You know, if Pastor Mike will just hang around long enough, God will anoint him to teach. Now, you know, I said that facetiously. The anointing on Pastor Mike. Oh, my goodness. What a blessing he is. And what a ministry that God has given him. And just to be back. And it's just hard to believe it's been a year since I was here last. And, you know, shame on me that it's been that long. And just to be a part of Sunday school, to be a part of the church, and just to see what God's doing here. I'm being honest with you, church. I love this church. I love you all. And thanks, Fred. I appreciate that. I tell you, it's a blessing to be here in this church. And again, with all of my heart, with all the sincerity I can muster up, I love you all in the name of Jesus. And I thank God for each and every one of you. Oh, thank the Lord. It's going to be an awesome day. Awesome day. And, you know, I had a message. In fact, one of these days, when I come back, I will preach this message. God gave me a hot message, but last night, I really felt impressed with the Lord to go a little bit different direction. You know, it's just terrible that God would do that after I've done all this planning that, you know, He'd want it to go a little bit different direction. But, of course, again, I say that facetiously. By the way, those of you who do not know what facetious means, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means inappropriately witty. I like the witty, don't like the inappropriate. But nevertheless, I can see the purpose now, having been in the service and having experienced what I have experienced so far. I can see the purpose and why God is going to go the direction that we're going to go this morning. You know, if you'll follow God, you know, you may not understand the purpose at the beginning, but you will see it sooner or later. You know, one thing Mike and I were talking about last night, you know, God is so big. He's so vast. He's so high, so deep. There's no way you're going to understand all that there is about God. But you can understand His ways. And, you know, I'm reminded when Samuel was a little boy, he was serving under Eli. And God spoke to him in a supernatural manner and called his name in the middle of the night and said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel immediately jumped up thinking Eli was calling for him. And he ran to Eli and said, yes, master, did you call? And Eli said, well, no. He said, I didn't call. He said, go back to bed. And so Samuel went back to bed, and the Spirit of God called again, Samuel, Samuel. A supernatural manifestation, hearing the audible voice of God. He immediately jumped up, ran to Eli. Yes, master, did you call? And Eli said, I didn't call. Go back to bed. And of course, you know the story. Samuel goes back to bed, and again God calls, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel jumps up, runs to Eli. Yes, master, did you call? And that's when it finally dawned on Eli that God was wanting to speak to Samuel. And so he gave him instruction. Thank God for instruction. He gave him direction. Thank God for direction. He said, Samuel, when you go back to bed, and he said, I want you to go back to bed, but the next time you hear that voice, say, yes, Lord, I'm listening. See, we have to be taught how to respond to the ways of God. You know, God was wanting to reveal some things to Samuel, but because Samuel didn't know how to respond in the correct way, God didn't speak to him further. See, we want further revelation. We want further information. We need more information always as we walk through this life. And when Samuel learned to respond appropriately, God was able to reveal more to him. And so I say that to you. I encourage you to learn the ways of God. Thank God for the Word. That's why we have the Word, so that we can understand the ways of God. Oh, it's so important. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Well, now let me say this before we get into the message this morning. I'm sure when you came into the church, you saw the table back there. I didn't bring all of my items with me this particular weekend. Next time I come, you know, I will, because I've written 5 books. But I did bring what I call scriptural vitamin supplements, and I so believe in this. It's a 2-CD set. And we offer these for $20. The first CD, all I do is read scriptures out of the Bible on healing. One scripture after the other, over and over, again and again. The second CD is like the first, only I read prosperity scriptures instead of healing scriptures. Again, one prosperity scripture after the other, over and over, again and again. I've had people say to me, Brother Greg, I didn't know there were that many scriptures in the Bible on prosperity. And you need to know what those scriptures are. In fact, I've had more families tell me just in the last 3 months that when they bought this set, they have it playing in their house 24/7, 365. In other words, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year long. And they get those scriptures down on the inside of them. I even read from different translations. A couple of times I'll read from a paraphrase if it makes a certain point. But the point in doing this is so that you can get these scriptures on the inside of you, because if you're believing God for the favor of God in the workplace, if you're believing God for a raise or a promotion, if you're believing God for a bonus, you've got to keep yourself surrounded with the Word of God on that particular subject. If you're believing God for a healing, you know, if you're injecting yourself with insulin, if you're on medication for a disease or a sickness, some affliction that your body is going through, you need to be reminded of the scriptures in the Bible on the subject of healing. And I hired an excellent keyboard player to play behind me as I read, so that there's music going on while I read these different scriptures. And so we offer those for $20. And so I've got, I don't know, 10, 15 different sets back there, scriptural vitamin supplements. So after the service, you can avail yourself to it. And people always ask if they can write a check. Yes, you can write a check. Just make sure the check is good. Amen. Was that a mean face? Okay. All right, everyone stand up if you would. Got your Bibles with you. In this church, I know you do. Glory to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the precious name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the increased anointing that's in this place, your presence that's in this place. Father, we thank you for all the ways that you've manifested yourself to us today in the praise and the worship and through the teaching we've already got in these services or in the Sunday school as well as this morning. Father, I pray it's the desire of all of our hearts that the anointing of the Holy Ghost would be manifest to set at liberty those who've been oppressed and those who've been depressed, those who've been injured, those who've been hurt. Father, that the anointing would flow to set at liberty those who've been hurt, that they might be healed in every way. Father, emotionally, Father, in their minds, Father, in their bodies. Lord, I pray that you would think through me, communicate through my lips, help me to deliver what I believe you would have me to share, that I would deliver your word with clarity, Father, with simplicity, that there'd be no doubt concerning the will of God from your word, and Father, that we would receive impartations today of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we thank you for all that you have done, all that you're right now doing, and all that you're going to do in this service. Open our eyes, open our minds, open our hearts that we'd see and hear, Lord, what we need to see and hear. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all who would believe said,
amen.
And amen. God bless you, church. You can be seated. Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 1, if you will. I want to focus in on one verse. I know how I'm going to begin. I'm not quite sure how we're going to end. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul is writing here. This should be a verse that you've heard quoted many, many times. I dare say it's a verse that you yourself have quoted many times. Verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it," the gospel of Christ, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Now in this church, I know that you understand that the word salvation here is the Greek word pronounced sozo. It's not just talking about when you go to heaven when you die, though thank God when we die, if we know Jesus, we're all going to heaven. And I'm excited about that. But the Greek word translated salvation here is an all-encompassing word, talking about deliverance from oppression, being set free from depression. If you're sick in your body, it's talking about healing for your body. This word, really, Paul is saying the gospel of Christ. Now, when we say the gospel of Christ, we're talking about the message that Christ delivered. We're talking about what the word tells us that Jesus did. The gospel of Christ is talking about the word of God. Thank God for the word of God. And he is saying the word of God is the power of God unto that which you need. If you're sick, God has a healing for you. Many times we talk about what God has set us free from, but we don't talk about what God has set us free from to. In other words, we've been set free from sickness to healing. We've been set free from unpaid bills to getting paid bills. We've been set free from poverty to prosperity. We've been set free from oppression to peace of mind. And Paul is saying the word of God releases the power of God. Wherever the word of God is present, the power of God is inherently there. And when people will act on this word, God's power will manifest to do what it is that you're believing him for. Can I hear an amen? And I love what Paul said. He said, "I'm not ashamed." In fact, let's just take it to this point. He's saying, "I am not ashamed of the Word of God and all that the Word of God represents and all that the Word of God teaches and instructs us in." You know, the reason I say that is because, you know, I've seen churches, and I'm talking about Word of Faith churches that in a sense have become ashamed of certain things that the Word of God talks about. I have been in churches, I'm talking about full gospel, spirit-filled, word-believing churches that are now ashamed of speaking in other tongues. They are ashamed of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're ashamed of the message of faith. They are ashamed to lay hands on people in a church service to believe God with them for healing. You know, I was talking with a pastor. In fact, I was actually scheduled to minister in his church up in Iowa. And 4 days before I came to minister, he called me on the telephone. And he said, "Brother Greg, I want to talk with you about what you're going to preach on Sunday." And I said, all right, what? And he said, well, Greg, he said, whatever you do, he said, I do not want you to teach on the subject of faith. He said, I don't want you to teach on divine healing. I don't want you to teach on prosperity. He said, I don't want any manifestations of speaking in tongues or interpretation of tongues. Don't want any prophecy in our church. I said, brother, I said, you might as well forget it. I said, there's no need for me to come. I said, because I'm either going to teach on some aspect of faith, healing, prosperity. I said, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not ashamed of them. And he said, well, we don't want that here. And I said, well, brother, I said, there's no need for me to even come. And the thing that made it even more sad to me is this guy was a Rhema grad. He had worked for Kenneth Hagin Ministries and even used to be on the crusade team for Brother Hagin when he was still alive. I was talking with another pastor out in the state of Washington. And we were visiting on the phone. And he said, Brother Greg, we don't want any teaching on faith. We don't want any teaching on healing. We don't want any teaching on prosperity. He said, we do not want anything that has to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This was a Rhema grad. I am a Rhema grad, so I can talk about my own in this way. And he said, we don't want that. And I said, well, brother, how come? And he said, because that drives people away. And he said, we want to get a big church. And if we start letting people speak in tongues, or if we start praying for people to be healed in church, if we start preaching the word of faith message, he said that would just drive people away. And they have this attitude that the end justifies the means. In other words, they'll do whatever they want to do or whatever they think will draw a crowd. Well, listen, just because you have a crowd doesn't mean God's in it. Understand this, church, there's a difference between a harvest and numbers. You know, you can go over here to Cowboy Stadium, you got a big crowd, that doesn't mean God's in it. And you can go into a lot of buildings that they call churches that might have several thousand people, but that doesn't mean God's in it. In fact, you know, we're just talking about numbers. A lot of those people are not harvested, but in addition, you could have a whole church full of tares. I know I'm shooting straight here today, but that's all right. I'll put my gun in my holster in just a moment. But some of these things have to be said. Amen. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You see, I was raised in a denominational church. And they told me that speaking in tongues was of the devil or that it passed away. They said, but anyway, you look at it, you know, you're not going to speak in tongues in this church. And that's how I was raised. Of course, I didn't think anything about it, didn't know too much about it, and, you know, because all I heard were messages against it. And, you know, when I got old enough, when I was in high school, I didn't even want to go to church anymore. It was just so dead, it was so dry, there was nothing really going on. They didn't believe God was going to do anything. And, you know, and so why in the world do I want to go to church? So when I got out of high school, I was immediately playing my trumpet and rock and roll bands, playing in clubs. At least there's a little life there. Or at least it seemed to me from the physical standpoint, you know. And then finally, I was playing at in California at Disneyland, and there's a trumpet player there from Colorado. And we were sharing an apartment that Disney had put us up in. And I don't even know how I got this. Well, I started getting hungry for God. I was a junior in college, and I was getting hungry for God. And even though I'd play, have to understand, I'd drive 4 or 5 hours to play a dance job somewhere. I'd play from 9 to 1 o'clock in the morning, and then I'd drive 5 hours back, you know, to get back home. I'd usually pull in at home 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'd go to bed and sleep until 2 in the afternoon. And when I was going through school, that's how I got all my money. You know, I'd go to school in the morning, 8 o'clock, usually until noon. I'd do all my studying, what I could. Then I'd play a dance job every night until 1 o'clock. And then if you have to drive on top of it, I'd get in at 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, then have to get up at 7:30 to get to class by 8. You know, it was very tiring. Anyway, I got in on this one Saturday night. It was now Sunday morning, and I was just dog tired. Here I was a junior in college, and just started thinking about God. And I turned on the TV. And there was a preacher there. He wasn't a spirit-filled preacher. But he said if he'd send me $10 a month for a year, he said he'd send me a Bible and a Bible dictionary and a Strong's Concordance. And I thought, you know, that sounds pretty good. And I thought, you know, my limited budget, I could afford $10 a month. I thought it was $120 in a year, but $10 a month, I could do that. And so I sent him $10, and I got all these books. And so I started reading through the Bible. And in the midst of that, there's this little pamphlet that had 101 reasons why speaking in tongues was not for today. And I thought, well, that's the weirdest thing. If it's not for today, why, you know, talk about it? You know, who really cares? And anyway, I had that pamphlet with me when I was playing out at Disneyland. And it turns out this other musician, this trumpet player from Colorado, was not only born again, he was a spirit-filled Christian. And so he saw that pamphlet and he said, Greg, I see you have that pamphlet. What do you think of that? And I said, I really don't know what to think of it. And he just threw it out there like a slab of meat in front of a lion. He just said, Greg, he said, I speak in other tongues. Well, if you would have gotten a ball bat and hit me in the head, you would not have surprised me anymore. And I looked at him. I didn't know what to think. And I said, you speak in other tongues? Well, immediately I was introduced to the supernatural. All I knew is there was something about God where God was still working in the lives of people. You know, I know when I first began in my ministry back in September of 1982, here I'd been traveling around. I think we met in the fall of 83. I'm not sure on that, Mike, somewhere in there. But here, you know, here I was. You know, I went to Bible school. I went up to Rhema. You know, I mean, I so wanted to get out to preach. I wanted to preach so bad. It's like Rhema was keeping me from the will of God. You know, that's a terrible thing to say. And because Rhema does not do that. But I was just so on fire. Wanted to preach. Had to preach. There's a fire shut up in my bones. And the thing that surprised me is, you know, I announced my ability to come to your church and preach, and pastors were staying away from me in crowds. And I had nowhere to go. And I remember I'd get on the phone. I didn't know how to do this, so I just got on the telephone. I started calling pastors and, you know, talking with people who went to the same school as me, and people didn't want me to come. Well, I had three churches down here in Texas that did have me scheduled to come preach in their church. And anyway, I was so frustrated. I was so down here. I was just so young in the Lord. You know, I had just come to the Lord. I answered the call of God. I go to 1 year of Rhema, and now I'm starting to preach. And people didn't want me to come preach. So I had these three churches down here in Texas that would have me come. But I was so frustrated. I was so depressed over the thing that I just said, God, I'm going to finish these three churches in Texas, and I'm not ever going to call one more church again. And I look back on that, and I meant it when I said it. Well, I came down to Texas. In fact, the first church was down in Houston. And when I got down there, it turns out this pastor had just flipped his lid. He had gotten to the point where they were above the Word of God. We don't need the Bible anymore. We've got seven different levels, and if you're going to accept the Bible, that's only on level one. And they said they were already at level four, and this crazy revelation. And he had a church of about 150, maybe 180, and he'd lost about all of them except maybe 20, 25 people were still there. And so here I pull into Houston and visit with this pastor. And he said, well, Greg, he said, I don't want you to preach. All I want you to do is play your trumpet. He said, if I advertise you playing your trumpet, all these people will come back because they've heard you play. And he said, I want to preach my doctrine to them. And I said, brother, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not staying. I'm certainly not going to play my trumpet so that you can preach that mess. And then he said, Brother Greg, he said, if you will stay, he said, we will give you X amount of hundreds of dollars, which at the time I needed every dollar. When I first started the ministry, I had a little two-bedroom apartment. Remember shag carpet? It wasn't even popular back then when I had it. And had this ugly green shag carpet, didn't even have a bedroom set. I had one green chair in the living room from my parents' attic. I had a 1972 Dodge Polara, had 144,000 miles on it. I tell you what, the heater in that car worked great. The problem was it never turned off. I mean, it just ran all the time. And winter is okay. In the summer, I'm telling you, you know, if it's 100 degrees outside, you had all that heat blowing in from that car. I'd have to pull in, you know, about a half hour before I'd get to that town just to clean up so I'd be presentable, you know, when I got to that church. I needed every dime. I'm telling you, had that little two-bedroom apartment, had that car, and I had to pay those bills, and I wanted that money. I needed that money desperately. But I would not violate my conscience for money. And I told that pastor, I said, brother, I said, I need every dollar. But I said, I will not stay so that you would preach something other than the Word of God. See, Paul said, I'm not ashamed. See, the Word of God, this is the only way you're going to live. Amen. If you want victory, if you want to be an overcomer in life, this is what's going to do it.
Yes, right.
Well, anyway, I told him, I said, brother, I'm not staying. It was on a Saturday evening. And I left, had nowhere to go. And so the next morning, I decided to visit a church. And this church at the time was running maybe 800 people, maybe 600, 600, 800 people. And I came into the church and I was sitting on the third row. I'd never met the pastor. The pastor didn't know me. And, of course, I was just a young minister. And I was sitting on the second, third, maybe fourth row somewhere on this side of the church. And they were all praising and worshiping God like you all were worshiping God this morning. But I was so down thinking about all the problems I was facing and how it looked like I was going to have to get out of the ministry because I wasn't going to call anymore. No one was, well, it was just a difficult time. So I'm sitting in my chair. Everyone else is praising God. I'm looking at the floor. And I'm just thinking about how big these problems are. And maybe 20 minutes had gone by. And then someone elbowed me. And I looked at them and said, what? And they said, the pastor wants you. I said, the pastor? And I looked up and the pastor was pointing his finger at me. He said, yes, you. I said, me? He said, yes, stand up. And so I stood up. And he said, the Lord told me that you said you're not going to make any more phone calls. And he said, for right now, the Lord says, that's what you're supposed to do. Wow. Well, I tell you what. I found out there was a God in heaven. See, that's one of the purposes for the gifts of the Spirit is to make God real to people. To realize that He is alive, that He is concerned about people. I tell you, I lived off of that word for years because when I was frustrated, when the times were tough and people wouldn't take my phone calls, I kept thinking what the Lord said, kept me on the straight path. But I thought many times, what if I'd gone to one of these churches today that they won't allow the gifts of the Spirit to happen in their church? There'd be a possibility I may not even be in the ministry today. Amen.
Yeah.
See, we're standing up for what the Word of God teaches. We're not ashamed of the gifts of the Spirit. People say, yeah, but, you know, we've seen mistakes. We've seen how people have abused the gifts. Well, that doesn't mean you stop the gifts. That means you correct the use of the gifts. Certainly there's improper uses, but again, you don't eliminate the gift. You just fix that which is improper. But we have to stand up for what's true. You know, I was preaching down in Alabama. And a pastor was telling me he was up in Alaska. And the preacher began to preach, been preaching 10 minutes. Then they stopped the service. They brought down these carts, had donuts and coffee on them, and started passing them out to people in the church. Now think about this. They were actually selling donuts and coffee where the preacher had already been preaching maybe 10 minutes. And I thought, has it come to the point that people can't handle 10 minutes of preaching? And if they had actually starts, at least give the donuts away. Don't start. It's not like a movie theater, you know. It's not like a ball game, you know, a stadium. I mean, but they actually are pushing carts down, selling coffee and donuts after 10 minutes of preaching in the church. And the pastor stood to the side and they started talking about the different kinds of donuts they had and what they needed. You can actually buy pews now that have coffee holders in them. And you think, what in the world has happened to the church? You need to realize that God is still on the throne. And God is a God of the miraculous. And God is still speaking to man today. And God is still healing the sick today. And God is revealing mysteries today. And I believe we are on the verge of getting ready to see God manifest Himself in ways that we only used to dream about. Amen. Did you realize there is a revival that is taking place in the world right now? As I speak, there is a move of God in other parts of the world that is boggling the mind. I was in a Mardell Christian bookstore we have in Kansas City about 5-6 months ago. And I bought a couple of items. I was getting ready to go out the door. And I saw a magazine rack. Christianity Today. It's not a Spirit-filled magazine. They do not promote the Spirit-filled life. And but I saw Christianity Today. And when I saw the cover, it captured my attention. It said, the health and wealth gospel is taking Africa. I thought, I want to look at this. And so I went over to that magazine rack and I opened the magazine up to look at that article. And they said in 2001, there was a preacher by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin. He took his son, Kenneth W. Hagin Jr., and they met with some key young leaders in Africa. And they said from that small meeting, it went out like spokes. On a wheel, went out all over Africa, and they said this, and they didn't mean it in a nice way, they said it in a sarcastic way, this health and wealth gospel went all over Africa. Are you ready for this? This is going to blow you away. They said there are now, because of this move that's just taken place in the last several years, they said there are now 480 million Christians in Africa because of the health and wealth gospel. Think about that. That's almost 500 million Christians. The entire population of the United States is around 300 million. To think they have almost 500 million Christians in Africa, there are more Christians now in Africa than the entire population of the United States. There is a move of God that's taken place. And if we would have a seminar in this country, if we would have 10,000 people show up, maybe 15, 20,000 people show up, we'd all praise God and thank God for it. They advertised, though, a meeting in Africa, a seminar in which they were going to teach the principles of the Word of Faith message. Are you ready for this? They had 2 million people show up to be taught. They couldn't even deal with all the crowds. They had to get all their ministers together. They got pastors, you know, that had come in, and they had to send them out all over the city because they didn't have room to deal with the 2 million people that showed up to be taught the Word of God. In fact, the largest church building now, not the largest church, but the largest church building in the world is now in Africa. I'm telling you, there is a move that has taken place in Africa. In fact, there is a revival that is taking place in South America. The largest church in the world is no longer in Seoul, Korea. It's now in South America. And there is a move in Colombia. There is a move in Argentina. There is a move in Brazil. In fact, in Colombia, I think there's already 20 Rhema Bible training centers. In Brazil, I think there's 25 Rhema Bible training centers. There are so many churches that are springing up. There is a move of God, and some of the miracles we're hearing about over there, it boggles the mind. In Indonesia, the most Muslim country in the world, there is a revival that has taken place. Which, by the way, we hear so much about Iraq. Did you know that there are now 1 million Christians in Iraq? You don't hear about that on the news. In fact, you won't hear this either, but there was a born-again, spirit-filled pastor who was in prison under Saddam Hussein. And when we got that rascal and opened the prison doors, that born-again, spirit-filled pastor came out of prison and started a church in downtown Baghdad. And he now has over 500 members. There is a born-again, spirit-filled, word-believing church in Kuwait City that has over 400 members. I'm telling you, there's a move that's taken place. And in Indonesia, you talk about a revival. In fact, I've been invited to teach in that Bible school in this church. This pastor, think about this, 15 years ago, this guy didn't even know he was called to be a pastor. He didn't even know Jesus as his Savior. But another pastor friend of mine went to Indonesia. He's from New Jersey. He's now pastoring in Indiana. But God told him to go to Indonesia, and he held 6 weeks of revival meetings over there. Just went from one island to the next, all around some of the big cities, just one meeting after the other for 6 straight weeks. Well, he was in the airport there. I think it's in Jakarta. He was in the airport, and they had park benches in this particular airport. He was sitting on this park bench. He was getting ready to get on that airplane in 10, 15, 20 minutes. He was so exhausted. He was so tired. All he could think about, he told me later, he said, all he could think about was getting on the plane and sleeping for the next 8 hours. And anyway, there was an Indonesian man, had a bag lunch in his hand, was walking by and sat down on a park bench across from him. And the Spirit of God spoke to this pastor and said, tell him about Jesus. And he immediately began to argue with the Lord. He said, Lord, I'm too tired. I've been preaching for 6 weeks. I've been telling all these people about Jesus. He said, all I want to do is get on the airplane and sleep. And the Spirit of God spoke to him again and said, tell him about Jesus. You have no idea of the potential that resides on the inside of each person. I think, what would Pastor Mike have looked like many years ago when he was working on those buildings or from that little town, wherever it was over there in East Texas? You wouldn't think there's much potential on the inside of him. Well, anyway, this pastor, he didn't really know how to begin. He was just too tired to do it perfectly. But, you know, if God is in something, you may not do it exactly right, but that thing will fly if you obey God. But if God's not in something, it doesn't matter how perfectly you do it, that thing won't work. Well, anyway, he went over and sat on that park bench next to that Indonesian man. And this is not the best way to witness, but this is what he did. He just sat in the park bench and said, excuse me. And the man looked at him and the pastor said, you don't want to go to hell, do you? And he said, well, no. And he said, well, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're going to go to hell. And within just a matter of 5 minutes, he led that man in the sinner's prayer. That pastor said, when I get back home to the States, I will mail you some books so that you can grow in your faith. And so when he got back to the States, he put some Kenneth Hagin books in a box and mailed them to that Indonesian man. That Indonesian man began to read those books. It began to bless him. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then he recognized he had the call of God on his life. He answered the call. He started a church. And are you ready for that? In the last 15 years, that man now has a church of over 256,000 people in the most Muslim country on the face of this planet. In fact, I was just reading on the internet about 3 weeks ago. They say in the underground church in China, there are now a minimum of 150 million born-again Christians. That's behind the bamboo curtain. In fact, I read on another website, they said that on this site, they said there's possibly 300 million born-again Christians in the underground church. They just don't know how many there really are. But I'm telling you, there is a move of God that's taken place behind that bamboo curtain. Glory to God. In fact, I've shared the story before about that Chinese pastor. In fact, just bear with me for a moment. You know what? We can have messages of exhortation too. But there was a Chinese man, and he got saved. Think about this. You just can't start a church over in China because you feel led of God. And he got saved. In fact, when he got saved, he didn't even have a whole Bible like what we have. He had the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, had the book of Acts. He had some of the scriptures concerning Elijah and Elisha in 1 and 2 Kings. And he did have a couple of letters, not all of them, but a couple of Paul's letters, one of which was the book of Philippians. And thank God for Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, this Chinese pastor, he gets saved. 3 months later, realizes he has the call of God in his life to be a pastor. So what he did in the middle of the night, he waded knee-deep into a rice paddy and just started preaching by himself in the dark. And word began to spread from that. And within 3 months, he had 5,000 people coming to be a part of his rice paddy church. Think about that. And the province, the government, they have provinces. Like we have states, they have provinces. The government there began to hear about him. And they got concerned, and so they sent 5 military men. They were soldiers. They moved into the community and pretended like they had jobs there, and they found out where the church was and when it was going to meet, that kind of a thing. They infiltrated the church. They met out there in the middle of the night. They waited out in those rice paddy fields, and they heard that preacher preach. And this particular night, he was preaching on Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And he said, it doesn't matter this regime that's over us. He said, God is able to take care of you and He can supply all of your needs. He said, it doesn't matter the communism that we're under. My God can supply all of your needs. Just began to preach on Philippians 4:19. Well, after the service, those 5 military men went up to the front where the pastor was and they handcuffed him in front of the people there. They arrested him and they took him to a Chinese prison. Now, our prisons over here are bad enough. But over in China, there are no rules or regulations. They took him down into the basement of this prison. They actually had dug out a hole and bricked it in. And they put some kind of a wood door over it. And they said, we've made this cell especially for you. We're going to put you in this cell and we're not going to open the door. We're not going to feed you. We're not going to give you anything to drink. We're going to put you in there, lock the door, and we're going to wait until you die. Once we know you're dead, we're going to take your emaciated body out of this cell. We're going to put it into your city and we're going to tell everyone in your city that your God did not supply all of your needs. In fact, the cell wasn't even tall enough where he could stand upright, and Chinese people are not very tall anyway. So you can imagine how small this cell was. So anyway, they put him in the cell, they shut the door, and they locked it. Here he was in total darkness, didn't even have an electric light. The only light he was going to have in that cell was from the crack underneath the door. So he was in the cell, and this is what he said. He said, Lord, he said, I read where you sent ravens to take food to Elijah. But he said, I'm in this hole in the ground. How could you take care of me? About that time, he heard a brick in the wall that was scratching against the other bricks as it was wiggling back and forth. He looked in the direction of the brick. He couldn't see, but he could hear it. And he began to stare at that wall for the next hour, 2 hours, as his eyes were adjusting to the lack of light. And as he was staring at the wall, after a time, he began to see a brick that was actually wiggling back and forth. And so for the next 2 hours, he watched that brick as it was wiggling, and it was slowly moving out into the cell until eventually the brick fell into the floor of the cell. Where the brick was, there was a hole there, and a rat stuck his head out. The rat then jumped into the cell, and wrapped in the tail of that rat was a banana. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yeah. Evidently, that rat had been digging a passageway for some. In fact, I'm reminded of the scripture. It says, before you even call, I will answer thee. That rat had a banana wrapped in its tail. That's a miracle. Another miracle is to think that the rat wouldn't eat the banana. I mean, rats will eat anything. And that Chinese pastor took that banana, he peeled it and ate the banana. The rat climbed back up and scampered off through that little passageway. Later that day, that rat came back into the cell, had another banana wrapped in its tail. The Chinese pastor peeled that banana and ate the banana. The rat climbed back up and scampered off. The next morning, the rat came back into the cell, had some kind of a Chinese fruit that I'm not familiar with, but that Chinese pastor knew what it was. See, God wanted to make sure he'd not only have food, but he'd have liquids as well. And so that Chinese pastor peeled that fruit. He ate that fruit. That rat scampered off down that little passageway. And from that day forward, that rat came into that cell 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day, bringing food to the man of God. One time the rat brought fried chicken. For 6 months. Think about this. For half a year, they never opened the door to that prison cell. And for 6 months, that Chinese pastor raised his hands in the confines of that small cell. And he said, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you supply all of my needs, not according to this prison system, not according to this communist government, not according to this political regime. I thank you, Father, for supplying all of my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah! I'm here to tell you that God is a supernatural God. And we need to emphasize the miraculous. We need to let people know that He is a God of miracles. After 6 months of them not opening that door, for 6 months of him praising God, those 5 military men opened that door. Are you ready for this? That Chinese pastor walked out of that cell just as healthy as he was when they put him in. All 5 soldiers fell on their knees. All 5 made Jesus Christ the Lord of their lives. He was released out of that cell. He went back out into those rice paddies. In fact, last word I heard, he's been not just pastoring, he's now traveling in the middle of the night all through these rice paddies, and he's preaching in different provinces in China. I'm here to tell you that God is alive. Hallelujah. And the reason I say all of that, the revival that's taking place in China, it's coming to the United States. The revival that's happening in Africa right now, it's coming to the United States. The revival that's happening in Indonesia, it's coming to the United States. The revival that's happening in South America, it's coming to the United States. We haven't seen anything yet. It's coming. Church, it's coming. It's coming. I feel like John the Baptist before Jesus came. I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's going to get good. It's going to be awesome. And we're going to see things that we only dreamed about. You know, in fact, my wife, the Spirit of God spoke to her one day and said, if you would take all of the revivals starting at the book of Acts up till today, including the revival under Martin Luther, including the revival under John Wesley, including the revival through all those 100 years in the 1800s with the Methodist camps, starting with and then moving into Azusa, then the healing revival of the 50s, the charismatic revival of the 60s and 70s, the Word of Faith revival that had been going for 30 some odd years. If you take all the revivals for the past 2,000 years and put them together, you may have an inkling of what this last revival is going to be like. I just read from Brother Hagin. They threw some writings of his together. And he said, if you would take the healing revival, the charismatic revival, and the Word of Faith revival and put them together and then double it, you'll get an inkling of what this last move is going to be like. I'm here to tell you, we haven't seen anything yet in comparison to what we're going to see. You know, we've seen some tremendous things in the last 30 years, and thank God for each and every one. But there are some things we have not seen that we're getting ready to see. We are getting ready to see things like people coming into church who don't have any arms, people who don't have any legs, people who don't have any fingers, and they're going to be prayed for in the church. And right in front of everyone's eyes, fingers are going to grow, arms are going to grow, legs are going to grow. We're going to see things that's going to boggle the mind, things that we've heard prophesied, things that we've only begun to dream about. I'm here to tell you, the world is getting ready to see Jesus for who He really is. The curtain is about ready to part, and Jesus is going to take center stage. We're going to go out in power. We're going to go out in glory. We are this close for it coming to pass. Can I hear an amen? Oh, I'm telling you, if you think you've been excited today in all the praise and the worship, I'm telling you, it's nothing compared to the glory that's going to be poured out. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be magnificent. In fact, there's a scripture when Jesus worked some healings and miracles, the people said, we've never seen anything like this sort. Those are the kind of statements we're going to be making. I'm telling you, church, we're on the verge, we're on the precipice of moving into the blessing of God. Now, everyone look up for a second. We could have been experiencing this all along. Yeah. Every single one of us could have been healed. Every single one of us could have had all of our needs met. Every single one of us could have been blessed beyond our wildest imaginations. But every once in a while, God just initiates some things on His own. And God is getting ready to initiate some things on His own. We are getting ready to move into a time where I'm telling you, it's going to be so easy to believe God, because you are getting ready to experience the manifestation of the glory of God. It's coming. I'm telling you, church, it's coming. I don't know if you need to fasten your seatbelt or take your seatbelt off, but one way or the other, get ready. It's coming. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Someone say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say glory to God. Now listen to me, church. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Oh, church, I'm telling you, get ready, 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 get ready. It's coming. And it's going to be good. In fact, are you ready for this? In the past, churches would grow by Maybe one of you talking to one of your relatives, maybe talking to one of the people in the workplace, and maybe after 3, 4, 5, 6 months of you talking to them and inviting them to church, they might come. And after another 4, 5, 6 months, maybe they'll start coming regularly, you know, to the church. They'd get saved, and then maybe they'd start invite someone else, and after 4 or 5 months, someone else might come that they know. You know, throw all that out the window. We're getting ready to move into a day when churches are going to double in a week. I'm saying that by the Spirit of God. We are getting ready to move into a day, and we're just this far from it, when churches are going to double in a week. In fact, then not only that, but in the week following, the church is going to double again. It's going to be just like what happened in Jerusalem. 3,000 people are going to be added in one single day. A couple of weeks later, 5,000 more were added to the church in one single day. I'm here to tell you, God's throwing out the books. God's getting ready to do things in ways that's going to marvel the eyes of those who are watching. It's going to get real good. But see, you've got to start seeing it. You've got to start hooking up. You've got to be ready for what God's getting ready to do. I love what Pastor Mike was saying. You've got to start seeing it. Don't wait till it happens. See, we're in a time right now, a season of transition. You know, transition is when you're leaving something you're familiar with and moving into something that is unfamiliar to you. This has been a season of transition, and it's a time in which promotion is taking place. I'm telling you, in the realm of the Spirit, there are promotions that are taking place. Privates are being made corporals. Corporals are being made sergeants. Sergeants are being made lieutenants. Lieutenants are being made captains. They're being made colonels. They're being made generals. One-star generals are being made two-star generals. This is a time in which God is looking at the faithfulness of His people. Are you going to stand strong even though things have been difficult? Are you going to stay true to the Word of God even though you haven't seen all the things you used to see 25 years ago? God is looking for people He can depend on. And if you'll stay faithful when you can't see anything, if you'll stay faithful when you don't feel anything, if you'll stay faithful and if you'll stay true to the Word of God, I'm telling you, promotion is on its way. You know, in fact, I was telling Pastor Mike last night, my wife was driving by Royal Stadium in Kansas City. We have a stadium that seats close to 50,000 people for the baseball team. But in September, you know, when she was driving by, there might have only been 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people in the stadium. And you know, if you only have 5,000 people in a stadium that seats 50,000 people, it looks like there's hardly anyone there. Well, immediately when she saw that, the Spirit of God spoke to her and said, that's what it looks like in the realm of the Spirit. So few of my people have taken their rightful seats. Church, we have been seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, but so many Christians are living beneath their privileges. They're not exercising the authority God has given them. They've got a seat with their name on it, but they're not living according to what God has prepared for them. And in the realm of the Spirit, it looks like hardly anyone has gotten into their seats. And I'm here to tell you, the devil can't take that seat. So what he's been trying to do is keep you from sitting in your seat. But the day is coming and is now here when the believers have said enough is enough. Like John Osteen used to say, you just got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. They said, I'm fed up to hear. I'm tired of the devil dictating to me what I can and cannot do. And there's a group of believers who are standing up to the devil like Moses stood up to Pharaoh. In fact, I'm working on a message. Next time I come, I'm going to preach this message. You know, remember when Moses stood in front of Pharaoh and he said, let my people go? After 9 plagues, Pharaoh was about ready to do it. But then he began to bargain with Moses. He said, well, he said, all you people can go, but he said, the flocks and herds are staying. And this is what Moses said. He said, not one hoof will be left behind. I turned 50 years old. Can you believe that? 50? I never thought that day would come. I knew it hit Mike, but I never thought it hit me. I just got to the point I said, Lord, I want everything that you have for me. I want to do everything that you've prepared for me. I want to walk the path, the way that you've prepared it for me. Not one hoof is going to be left behind. I'm like Moses. I'm not going to leave some in Egypt and take others with me out of Egypt. Everything and everyone God has given me is going out of Egypt with me. Can I hear an amen? I love that song. This is not the time to let go. This is not the time to turn back. This is not the time to give up. This is the time, bless God, to square your shoulders back and lift your head up high. God is still on the throne. Jesus is still Lord. And every knee has to bow to the name of Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Cancer has to bow to the name of Jesus. Leukemia has to bow to the name of Jesus. Diabetes has to bow to the name of Jesus. Crohn's disease has to bow to the name of Jesus. Emotional problems have to bow to the name of Jesus. Depression has to bow to the name of Jesus. Are you ready for this one? Unpaid bills has to bow to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the name of Jesus. Everyone lift your hands towards heaven. Just begin to thank God. Just thank God. 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 Oh, begin to praise Him right now. Begin to lift up the name of Jesus right now. We worship You, Father. We worship You, Father. Hallelujah. You're great. You're mighty. You're marvelous. You're wonderful. You're matchless. And we thank You and we praise You and glorify Your name. Oh, He's worthy, church. He's worthy. 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 Oh, begin to worship Him. Those of you baptized in the Holy Spirit, begin to worship Him right now in other tongues. Begin to worship Him in the Spirit. Oh, shikana marata balatene woto bronoko dobra wata. Ene marapua teble konobra. Worship Him, church. Worship Him. Ye shikana marata blatono broto brakana borata brene blatamna. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the name of Jesus. Now, everyone look up for a second. The Spirit of God just reminded me of an incident that took place many years ago. In fact, many of you have wondered why things may not have been as easy as they could have been. In fact, everyone be seated just for a moment, if you would. In fact, Charity, I see you up there. Why don't you go ahead and play? That'd be appropriate. Everyone look up. Remember when Elijah was getting ready to leave the earth and Elisha was with him? And Elijah said, Elisha, I want you to stay here. I'm going somewhere else. And Elisha said, Master, he said, anywhere you go, he said, I'm going with you. And so they went to the next town. And Elijah said, Elisha, I want you to stay here. I'm going on. And Elisha said, Master, he said, I'm going with you all the way. So they get to the next town. And Elijah said, Elisha, I want you to stay here. He said, I'm going elsewhere. And Elisha said, Master, he said, wherever you go, that's where I'm going. Well, they came up to the Jordan River, and Elijah took off his coat, that mantle, and he struck the Jordan River. And you know the story, the river parted in two, and they walked across on dry ground. Elijah then looked at Elisha, and he asked him a question. He said, what is it that you want? And I love what Elisha said. He said, Master, he said, I want what you got. Only I want twice as much. And this is what Elijah said. He said, Elisha, he said, you've asked a hard thing. You know, Pastor Mike and I, we could tell you some stories. You know, when you answer the call of God, sometimes it's not easy. You know, When you see someone who's anointed, you don't realize what that person has had to face. Sometimes it's very hard. You know, when you want to press in and move up with God and you want to lead people into the things of God. And that's why you've got to stand your ground. See, the enemy is so afraid of you being promoted and moved to a higher level. You know, many times I've taught on prosperity. I'm telling you, there is a prosperity, there is an abundance and an increase that is coming to the body of Christ that we haven't even begun to imagine. This last work is not only going to be powerful, it's going to be quick. And so God is getting ready to pour out blessings that are almost unimaginable. And if you're a person who's going to stay true to God and live for God, you scare the devil out of his wits. And that's why the pressure comes sometimes, to keep you out of that position of promotion that God has for you. And that's why you've got to stay faithful. Oh, I tell you what, there is such an increase in the anointing in this church. There is such an increase. I'm telling you, and yet as great as this is nothing compared to what's getting ready to come. See, the closer we get, God's going to be increasing the anointing. It's going to be poured out in different measures. We see that with Elijah and Elisha. Elisha did get twice as much as what Elijah had. There are stronger anointings that are going to be poured out as the day gets closer to the return of the Lord. And I'm looking forward to that day. But see, I want to be a vessel that God can use. We all want to be vessels that God can use in this last day. Church, understand this. It's not just preachers who are going to be laying hands on the sick and they're going to recover. You are going to be laying hands on the sick and they're going to recover. You are going to be casting out demons in the name of Jesus. People who've been oppressed for 30 years are going to come to you, and you're going to take authority over the enemy who's been messing with their mind, and they're instantly going to be set free. I'm telling you, get ready, get ready, get ready. This is not for the preachers. This is for the body. The body of Christ is going to take its seat in this last hour. For too long, there's been too many Christians that have not been seated where God intended for them to be. And in this last hour, though, it is going to take place. And I am looking at a bunch of overcomers this morning. I'm looking at a bunch of believers who are taking their seat. I'm looking at a bunch of believers who are exercising their authority. And that's why I've got to say it again. I'm saying it by the Spirit of God. Don't you dare give up. You've come too far to turn back now. Get ready, Fred. Get ready. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet again. Lift your hands towards heaven. Thank Him again. Heavenly Father, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm looking forward to it. I'm prepared. I'm staying faithful. Preparation time is never lost time. And Father, I'm staying faithful so that You can prepare me, so that You can use me. I'm learning Your word. I'm learning Your ways, Lord, so that I can flow with You and obey You instantly when the Spirit might speak. Oh, Father, I pray that You would open all of our eyes this morning. Help us all to see what we need to see. Help us to recognize our position. Help us to recognize the place that You would have us to be. And Lord, help us to recognize the authority that You've given to us. Lord, help us to recognize the preciousness of the Word of God. In the name of Jesus. Help us to see. Help us to see. Everyone say this after me. Heavenly Father, let me see. Open my spiritual eyes so that I can see what You have in store for me. I am faithful. You can depend on me. You can trust me. Anything You say, I will do. In the name of Jesus, I'll do anything You tell me to do. I'm not giving up. I'm not turning back. I've come too far to turn back now. I'm going all the way with Jesus. I'm not going under. I'm going over. I'm not going down. I'm moving up to the next level. to a higher level. In the name of Jesus, I'm moving up and up. I'm moving higher and higher. I'm walking in more light. I'm leaving the darkness behind. In Jesus' name. Oh, lift your hands towards heaven and thank Him again. Hallelujah to the name of Jesus. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you believe it, someone say amen.